All right, I want to bring you a Bible study here from the book of Psalms, chapter number 44. I'm going to start reading here in verse number 1. The Bible says, "We've heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise his name forever, Selah." Now here in this chapter, with these first 8 verses are what I want to look at for today. And I noticed something here at the beginning in verse number 1. He said, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old." I got to thinking about this subject, and this is what I'd like to talk to you about. Can you hear? I think nowadays we have a lot of deaf Christians, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to those people who have the handicap of deafness. I mean it in the sense that the Lord Jesus Christ meant it many times when he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." It's a spiritual deafness. Jesus Christ obviously had compassion on those who were physically deaf. He came in and he miraculously healed them when he saw their case. Those who are physically blind, Jesus Christ had compassion on them and he gave them back their sight. But that was not their choice. That was something that had happened to them. I believe nowadays we have a lot of people who are deaf spiritually, and we have a lot of people who are blind spiritually. They can't see the truth. They can't see the Savior in the book. They can't see themselves. And I'm not even talking about the lost world that doesn't know the gospel, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine in unto them. I believe it's a willful blindness and a willful deafness among the saved, of just a lack of desire to hear from God, a lack of desire to see God. It's that whole concept of "awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light." I mean, Christians that are just sleeping in their personal walk with Jesus Christ. Christians that may attend church faithfully, may even read their Bible, but they're just sleeping through it all. And I don't want to be that deaf Christian. I want to be able to hear when God Almighty is speaking to me. And I'm sure the vast majority of you feel the same way, but in our flesh, we're oftentimes naturally inclined to not hearing God. I'll say this about that. There's a whole lot of noise in our world. There's a whole lot of information out there. I mean, we have got so many news sources and avenues to tune into noise, noise, noise all the time. It's not like you just have one or two news stations. You've got so many options nowadays. You can tune into the news station that decides they're going to look at the world from their own, from their point of view, or the point of view you prefer, whether that be conservative or liberal or religious or non-religious. I mean, there's so many sources. And as if that wasn't a bad enough problem 20 years ago with the television, nowadays you've got these phone apps and you got all the multiple ways of tuning in to all kinds of noise all the time. And it just troubles me. It bothers me. I try to look things up and research and study things and know what's going on. And 9 times out of 10, I find myself trying to remember when I'm reading something that I don't know who the source is. I need to look and find the source of who it is that's leading the charge on whatever it is I'm reading. That's trying to educate me from their point of view, with their bias, with their perspective. And if we're not careful, Christians, we'll wind up being blind and deaf to God, unable to hear the Spirit of God leading us and speaking to us and working on us and molding us and talking to us about us and about our life and about our family and about our church and about our walk with Jesus Christ and about our sin and about our failures and about our strengths and about our gifts and about the good things that we are doing. I mean, God doesn't just always tell us what we're doing wrong. Sometimes He'll tell you what you're doing right to encourage you in continuing down that road. And I feel like myself, I'm testifying more than I am getting on you and rebuking you today. I feel like if I'm not careful, I'll find myself hearing so much noise and I'll have so much going on in my head that I no longer am clearly, distinctly hearing that still small voice of the Spirit of God as He speaks to me and as He gives me direction and comfort and leadership and clarity in the midst of chaos. So I believe this morning the Lord does have a message for us from Psalm chapter 44. And first of all, the example here right out of the gate is what the psalmist is saying. He said, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us." What he's saying is this: back in the old days, God, the old men, see, in the end of the verse, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. What he's saying is, Lord, I have heard about the old paths. I've heard about what you can do. I've heard about what you have done. And Lord, man, Lord, I'm really needing you to be who the old men knew you were in my life. It reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Have you heard of the old paths? Have you heard of what God's done in the past? Have you heard of how God has blessed preachers and preaching? How God has blessed churches and Christians? How God has blessed devoted businessmen and average Joe hard-working 9-to-5 guys who are faithful to their wife and their children, and they're coming home and they're bringing the paycheck in and they're faithful to go to church and they're trying to be a witness and they're just trying to enjoy their life one day at a time and be a hard-working man? Have you heard what God's done in the lives of others? I'm talking about the old paths. I'm talking about the good ways. That whole thing, he says, if you'll ask for them, if you'll seek them, if you'll walk in the old-fashioned paths, you'll find rest for your souls. Man, you live in a day and age where people do not have rest in their souls anymore. You turn on the news media and you start looking at all the news outlets and you listen to the politicians and nobody seems to have any rest whatsoever. And I'm not talking about loafing around and being lazy and not being a hard worker. I'm talking about you and I can be hardworking and even busy, but still have peace and rest in our souls as we walk with God and as we know that we're in the right way and as we know that we're doing the will of God the way God would have us to do it. And as we're knowing that God is going to work and is working and has worked in the past and will work in the present and the future if we're faithful, because we're walking the right way, there's a peace that comes, a rest that comes in hearing the voice of God and in knowing those paths. And saying, I've heard the stories, I've read the book, and I am sure that God is still God, and that what God did in the old days, if I'll walk the same way, if I'll walk according to the truth, if I'll seek out the right way and good way to walk in, not the modern way, not the way that disregards God, not the flippant Christianity of the day and age that we live in, that kind of easy does it, easy listening Jesus, easy listening gospel, easy listening preaching, kind of like, you know, just easy does it Christianity. You can kind of like, you know, just go to church. If you bring your Bible, you bring it. If you don't, you don't. No intensity whatsoever. No desire in your personal life to have a commitment to your personal daily walk with Jesus Christ. Nothing old-fashioned about it. No personal pouring out of the soul between you and God on your knees in the privacy of your home, between you and your Savior, and longing to hear His voice and walk with Him. I'm talking about old-fashioned Christianity, the old ways, the good ways. Boy, when I look through my Bible and see about the men of old that walked with God, the old paths, it was a personal path. It was private. It was passionate. It had to do with Him and God as that man and the circumstances and details and issues and ups and downs of his life continually and regularly sought the God of the Bible. He's saying, we heard what the old men said. And Jeremiah said, if you guys will get back in that path, if you guys will walk that way, you'll find rest for your souls. You'll be okay. You'll have peace and comfort in chaos. You'll have a presence of God, the Comforter, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But nowadays, Christians aren't walking in that path. They can't hear God. And I believe the reason is not necessarily because there's a lack of desire to hear God altogether. It's because God's voice and that Spirit of God inside of us has been drowned out by all the noise and chaos of everything else we're hearing in the world around us. Matthew 11:28 talks about that rest. Jesus Christ says this in the New Testament, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Did you hear it? Did you hear what Christ said? In order to come unto him, you have to get up and go to him. And that's as simple as just dropping to your knees where you're at. Shut off the TV, put your phone down, put the ringer on silent, throw it in the other room and shut the door. And get on your knees and get to Jesus Christ and you'll find out that he'll give you rest. If you're not saved, you can get saved right now. You can come to Jesus Christ because he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ will come into your heart, forgive your sins, and save your soul right now if you'll trust him by faith and his work on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you'll put your faith and trust in him and in what he did for you, he'll save you right now and you'll find rest for your souls in the middle of the chaos going on around us. Jesus Christ said it in Matthew 11:28. Jeremiah preached it in Jeremiah 6, and I can't tell you how passionately I believe Christians, after they've been saved, need to hear the voice of God and get back to the old path of just simply walking with the Lord in their personal life. Jesus Christ, folks, is the old paths. If you don't believe me, look up Daniel 7:22 and read it. Look up Revelation 4:8 and read it. Look up John 1:1-2 and read it. You'll find out that Jesus Christ is the old paths. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was, is, and is to come, the Almighty. He's the Ancient of Days. He was in the beginning with God. You want to walk in the old paths, you have to have Jesus Christ. Now listen, I know my spiritual application here in this passage is 100% correct. In taking this passage and applying it to Jesus Christ and to hearing his voice and to seeking his personal relationship and his presence in your heart and life, I know is accurate. And I'll tell you how I know it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. No prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. You interpret scripture with scripture, and the greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And once we rightly divide the word of truth, we have to learn how to practically apply it to our lives. In Luke 22:44, Jesus Christ said this, and he said unto them, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You know what this book is about? This whole book, Genesis to Revelation. I know it's about a king and his kingdom and all that stuff, but it's also about Jesus Christ. He's the king. It's his kingdom. And when we go to make spiritual application or personal application, when we want to hear from God, we need to remember that we ought to be looking for Jesus Christ every day when we read our Bibles. We ought to be looking for him and asking him. Listen, if you can just sit down and open up this book, and before you start your reading, just throw up a 5-second prayer from the bottom of your soul. God, show me Jesus Christ. God, speak to my heart. God, give me what I need. God, draw me closer. God, please show me the path of life. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus Christ is the path of life. In John 15:7, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What's the key to that thing? The key is knowing how to ask the right questions by knowing the right book and then knowing how to rightly divide that book, and then knowing how to make practical application and proper application to your life in this day and age. You can't go over there and grab the prayer of Jabez and pull it out of context, even though it's in the right book. If you can't rightly divide that thing and understand what that was all about, who that was to, and how that thing worked, and why it worked in that day and time, then you're going to make a practical application, an improper application, because you're not hearing the words the way you're supposed to be hearing the words. You're supposed to hear those words the way Jesus Christ said to hear them. First of all, looking for Jesus Christ, not looking for prosperity. Second of all, looking for His doctrine in this book, because these are His words, and His word is truth. And He said, sanctify them through thy word, through the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you and I don't know how to rightly divide the Bible, we won't know what to apply to ourselves and what not to. We won't know how to hear properly. We'll be hearing the wrong noise. If we don't know how to rightly divide the Bible, we won't know how to practically apply it. Once you know how to rightly divide it, you're not done. It's not like, oh, I got the right Bible. I know that which Bible is God's book, and then I also know how to rightly divide it, and I know what applies to the Jew and what applies to the Gentile, what applies to the Church of God, and I understand where the dispensations start and end, and what happened before the law and what happened under the law, dispensation of conscience and dispensation of human government, and dispensation of the law, and then dispensation of grace and transition periods and history books versus doctrinal books, and then, oh, not to mention when the rapture comes and then the tribulation period. And what New Testament passages apply to the tribulation period, and what the difference is between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. Hello. Yeah, there's a lot to it. And there's a lot of work in understanding all that. That's why it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the problem with some of us is once we've got all that down, or we think we have it all down, and we really begin to see the beautiful big picture of the plan of God throughout the ages in the Bible. And boy, our appetite has been whetted for the Word of God, and we just learn to love it and just dive into it and enjoy studying it. And we just get that passion for truth. I mean, man, it just burns in your guts. It's just hard to explain, but you just get addicted to the Bible. You begin to really love that thing. You know what the problem is? We think then, since we know how to rightly divide, we can stop listening. We can stop hearing. Well, the psalmist here never got so stinking arrogant. He never got to the point where he thought he was constantly the teacher of everybody else and that he was ready to be the one to find new truths in the Bible that nobody else has found yet. Let me tell you something, that is wickedly dangerous way to teach. To try to present to young men like, hey, young preachers, you need to get out there and you need to find something nobody else has found yet. That's a very, very, very dangerous approach. And sad to say, boy, there's a lot of guys right now with this whole COVID thing going on that are trying to make their mark in the world. And now listen, please listen to the spirit in which I'm trying to get this across to you. I'm not here to beat up on everybody that's getting a little off right now, that's getting their head a little messed up, that's getting a little excited and trying to force things to fit that don't fit. I'm not trying to beat them up. Listen, I've made plenty of my own mistakes. I look back and think back to some of the stuff in my younger days where I was, you know, all wound up about trying to make my mark and prove that I know the Bible and prove that I'm the next big shot and all that stuff. And I would have never said that at that point. But sure, my passion and drive and desire to get something done and fulfill the calling God gave me, my flesh would get in there. I mean, it still does, doesn't it? Who doesn't? What man, what sinful man doesn't struggle with his flesh? Paul did. So I'm not trying to beat up on them, and I'm not trying to say they won't come through it and get their head straightened out later. I hope and pray they do. But it is very, very dangerous for some of you Christians to tune in too much to too many people, even decent guys, when those guys begin in the time of crisis to rethink doctrine that is already well established and accepted by the body of Christ, clearly taught in a time of calmness, not a time of chaos, clearly understood over the years, not just by one unique or one kind of like outskirts type of guy, one cult leader who thinks he got something that nobody else got from some angel somewhere or some revelation of God because he's the man, and so now everybody needs to follow him. I'm talking about well-accepted doctrine in verse number 1 from our fathers, plural, what they have told us. We're going to see as we go down through this chapter, we're going to see that he's talking here not just about Moses, but he's talking here about Joshua. He's not just talking about deliverance from Egypt, but he's talking about crossing over Jordan, not just crossing over the Red Sea, but crossing over Jordan and conquering the land of Canaan. He's talking about what they saw repeatedly by multiple men who had the touch of God on them, and those things were confirmed by the Word of God, not just trusting some man's private interpretation. So there is doctrine that has been established over the years, decades, centuries, by Bible-believing men who studied the Bible, who walked with God, who saw the work of God in their life, and who then taught the Bible to those men that followed them, who God called, who were ordained from the right line, with the right men, whose ministries had been built and proven, whose life had been faithful, who walked with God, whom we saw the work that God did in and through them. Unquestionably God. No doubt God. Men who weren't promoting themselves, men who weren't promoting their name or their blog or their website or their books, their writings, their teachings. Men who promoted the Word of God. Yeah, many of them wrote books to be a help and a blessing to you. But their motive was never book sales. They never got in the pulpit and before they preached spent, you know, an hour of your time trying to get you to buy all their books. Men who promoted the Lord. Men who promoted teaching and ministering the Word of God to the average person who's trying to make it through a pandemic, who's trying to make it through a shutdown, who's trying to make it through a recession back in 08, who's trying to make it through average life of trying to pay bills and getting laid off and going through divorce and going through having to pay child support and having to deal with the problems and errors and issues and struggles and ups and downs and disappointments of the past. Trying to deal with all the things that come with a life in a sinful world. Men that just ministered the Word of God to people. Men who led souls to Christ and tried to help the widows and tried to minister to those who have gone through bereavement, who now deal with loneliness. And I'm talking about ministry, man. I'm talking about the real work of God. Not some guy trying to promote some new doctrine, because right now, if you label that thing right, and if you title that thing right, you're going to get a bunch of hits on the internet. If you can just kind of like, if you can give them all this interesting stuff and label it in a way that will tie into COVID. You ever watch the news media? And how they'll headline the articles when you're going through there looking at what the latest is, and they'll plug COVID, they'll plug epidemic, they'll plug shutdown into titles, and when you go to read the article, it's like, you know what, they just like, they made that thing fit so that they could put COVID in there, or they could put shutdown in there, or they could put epidemic in there, just to try to get you to listen, but that wasn't really what the whole article was about. Pay attention, watch that. You're getting set up. And I'm trying to say to you and warn you that some men right now are out there and are putting out information to try to capitalize on the opportunity to self-promote some of these lying, charlatan, bottom-feeding scum are even out there trying to make sales online that supposedly religious groups, supposedly going to cure COVID. They're bottom-feeding, charlatan, lying, dirtbag scum. They're worse than drug dealers because they're using the name of Almighty God and the Word of God to deceive people into promoting themselves and making money in a day when everybody's worried about whether or not they're even going to keep their jobs or be able to make their house payment. Christian, you need to avoid that stuff. You need to avoid these guys who are still wet behind the ears, and are trying to come out and say now they understand it, now they get it. The tribulation is actually not 7 years like we've always taught. It's 10 years. We're 1 year into the tribulation period. This is the first signs of the plagues and all this stuff. You need to tune them out. You need to tune into the fathers who heard God and walked with God in good times and bad, in the times of old, the old paths. Where's the good way? Christians, please, let's not be so fickle that because a little something has hit us, because we're concerned, because we've never seen anything so crazy, so worldwide, so wild, and we're still waiting to hear whether or not this thing was a great lie or if it was actually reality. I've heard all this stuff. Listen, just hit the pause button a second. I can see how the Antichrist is setting things up. No question. I can see how there's so much going on in this world right now that is preparing us for the coming of the Antichrist. But that doesn't mean I'm looking for the Antichrist. I am going to be out of here before he comes. If they start mandating a flu shot, big deal. I'm going to take the flu shot. If they start tracking who got sick and who wasn't, so what? That's not the mark of the beast. Because doctrinally speaking, the mark of the beast is not going to show up until Christians have been raptured out of here. The Antichrist is not going to come into power and to forefront until we're gone. My doctrine hasn't changed because of a flu virus. My God is not that fickle. This book is not that weak and uncertain. God is not the author of confusion. And that is why some of the confused brethren, whether they're well-intentioned or not, God's their judge, not me. But the confused brethren who are now all of a sudden beginning to change their doctrine are proving to you that they're not walking in the old paths. They're trying to find a new doctrine, a new way, a new thing, so that these little children can mark their little fire hydrant and everybody that walks by can sniff and know their scent is on it. That's all it is. It's childish foolishness. Listen, the book hasn't changed. I'm not just trying to be crude, but it gets me fired up. And what gets me fired up about it is I don't want my church family, I don't want Christians who've been walking with God for years to begin rethinking truth based on what they're tuning into and what they're hearing online from some guy who's trying to mess with your head. I've seen all kinds of posts, and because I'm not on Facebook and all that stuff, but these blogs and websites and people have been sending me text messages of little posts that have been made about, well, what about this theory and what about that theory? And let me tell you something about numerology. When it comes to numerology, you can do whatever you want with numbers. You can privately interpret those numbers to make it fit good doctrine. I can take numerology and I can add this number to that number, and then I can subtract 2, and then I can add back 1.5. I said, why didn't you just subtract 0.5 at the beginning, genius? But when you subtract 2, and then you add 30 over here, and then you take back 1.5 over there, and then you add this and that, and subtract this and the other, you come up with 40. And 40 is probation in the Bible. And 40 is... Listen, man, stop. That's not sound doctrine. The book hasn't changed because of a virus. My doctrine has not changed because of the shutdown. I'm still seeking the old paths. I'm still trying to hear what God had to say. I'm still listening to what God said to the fathers, to the old men that walked with God, that lived and died. That is God's plan for the truth to be passed down through the generations, from men that God taught the book to another man that God teaches the book to, and God solidifies that doctrine throughout the body of Christ because they're able to open the book and see the teaching and confirm that by the witness of the Holy Ghost of God in their heart. There's no blind faith in a man or in a father or in a church or in some man says God said this and that. No, that doesn't mean what it says. It actually means this. this. God called preachers will give you God's word and show you little by little, one week at a time, one message at a time, how to rightly divide that thing. And God the Holy Ghost will confirm the truth in your heart and teach you how to practically apply this book to the day and age that you live in. And one ancient doctrine that has not changed is that your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing on this planet. It is more important than anything else going on right now. Is if you can walk in the old paths, and the old path is Jesus, and if you can hear Him speaking to your heart in a practical level, in a personal level, dealing with you, maturing you, helping you, and drawing you closer to Him. That's the testimony that the old men had. That's the testimony that Moses had, where he saw and spoke to God face to face. He saw God's hinder part in the cleft of the rock. That's the testimony Joshua had when he tarried there in the presence of God when Moses went down off the mountain. That younger preacher just said, you know what, Moses, you go down there, you let everybody see how powerful you are, you let everybody see, and you lead. He had to put a veil over his face so they couldn't look at him. Joshua wasn't trying to seek the preeminence. Joshua wasn't trying to make his mark. Joshua wasn't trying to be the one everybody was listening to. Joshua wasn't trying to get the most posts and clicks and likes and thumbs up and shares and all the rest of that stuff. Joshua was more concerned about his personal relationship with Almighty God than he was about whether or not the congregation knew that he and Moses were tight. He was seeking God. Well, no wonder God chose him to be the one to cross over Jordan. When the waters that came down from above, they were flowing downstream, stood up on a heap. And no wonder he was the one that got to walk in the old paths that Moses had walked in, the path of walking over on dry ground through the Red Sea, leading the children of Israel. It wasn't because of anything else. It wasn't because he was more educated than the rest of them, and he was better with the Bible, and he was there on the mount when God was talking to Moses, and he was up there with Moses, and boy, I'm telling you, there's some things going on up there, and man, I heard some stuff. Me and Moses had some conversations. I mean, he gave you the little Ten Commandments on the rocks, but boy, let me tell you, there's some deeper doctrine out there, and let me just show you something that new and advanced revelation nobody else has seen yet, because, you know, everybody knows I'm the next Dr. Ruckman. You ain't got what it takes. I said, you ain't got what it takes. You don't spend the time alone with God, walking in the presence of God in the privacy of your own home on your knees, asking God to make a servant out of you, asking God to make a minister out of you. You're just too busy looking through the Bible to find something that nobody else has seen so you can show up all the other guys as to how smart you are. You're too busy digging around in all the darkness of conspiracy theories and sticking your nose into politics and all the rest of the darkness that goes on in the higher places of this world than you are worried about walking with God. Christians, God never intended us to be educated about all the evil. God intends us to have our nose in the book, learning more about God and walking with Almighty God. So I want to edify you, Christian, and encourage you. Listen, please, I'm not trying to just constantly beat up on everybody. But I'm telling you, there's a danger out there. And that danger is you hearing the wrong voices. There be many kind of voices in this world. And you hearing the wrong voices right now, and it robbing you of your comfort and confusing you on your doctrine. We are listening for a trumpet. We're not listening for a conspiracy theory, a mark of the beast, an implant. We're not listening for earthquakes in diverse places and all the rest of that stuff because we're going into the tribulation. As if that stuff's happening now, it's nothing more than a warm-up. It's Braxton Hicks contractions. It's not the birth. It's hey, we see the signs and it's getting close. Praise the Lord. Now let's tune our ears into the trumpet. Let's look for Jesus Christ. Let's make sure our personal walk with Jesus Christ is exactly what God wants it to be, and that we're drawing closer than we've ever drawn, so that God can see us through this and we come out of it stronger and closer to Jesus Christ than we've ever been in our life. Let's profit in our pain. Let's profit in our patience. Let's profit in the shutdown. Let's draw closer and be more filled with the Spirit in the shutdown than we've ever been in our lives and come out of this thing, should God tarry, should Jesus Christ wait, let's come out of this thing stronger for the glory of God. Let's have better church services than we've ever had in 12 years, because each of us individually is just filled with the Holy Ghost of God and coming in there to praise His name and lift Him up and walk with Him and hear from Him out of the Word of God like we've never heard before. Cleaned up with the sin out. Forgiveness in our hearts. No judging, no critical spirit, no being hard on one another. No, I don't like brother so-and-so, but I do like brother so-and-so, and he's my best friend, and he's not. I don't like that guy, but I put up with him. I mean, let's just clean it out, man. Let's hear the voice of God right now, and let's do some individual house cleaning, so when we come back together, we can walk together in the old paths of an old-fashioned church meeting in a modern day. I'm telling you, seeking the old paths has nothing to do with horse and buggies, folks. It has nothing to do with going to the Amish way of life or the Mennonite way of life. God bless them if they want to do it. Make it, you know, it's a free country. Praise the Lord for that. And I pray we maintain that freedom so we can continue to worship God. But I'm telling you, that ain't seeking old paths. Well, seeking old paths doesn't mean you got to throw away your smartphone and get a flip phone. I mean, well, how old is old? We got to go back to the ancient days. We can't have a furnace in your house. How old is old? No modern technology. You got to rip the radio out of your car. Can't have heated seats in the car. I mean, come on, man. Give me a break. How old is old? What is the old days? What is the old paths? It has nothing to do with us trying to be some kind of outward show of living anciently so that we're separated from all electrical power because Satan's the prince and the power of the air. And I mean, it goes on and on and never ends the way men can't apply the Bible properly. And they take it and misapply it on a practical level. And they mess people up and get them all confused. The old ways is Jesus Christ. The old paths are in the book. Well, you live in a modern day where they can't apply this thing practically. The old path is going to church where the Bible is faithfully preached and where the Word of God is exalted and sound doctrine is clearly taught. The psalmist here in the passage is not asking God to part the Red Sea for him. Look at verse 2. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou dost afflict the people and cast them out. The psalmist isn't saying, God, I want you to part the Red Sea. I'm rewinding back to live in another day. Listen, let me tell you something about sound Bible doctrine. According to sound Bible doctrine, you are not going to see the massive worldwide reviving of all the lost, which a lot of guys preach. Hey, you know, I mean, I'm thankful for the vision that they have and for the desire they have to reach the lost, and the heart probably comes from the right heart. I'll admit that. But scripturally speaking, revival has to do with a saved person getting revived again. It's not that initial birth. It's a revival. It's an awakening. It's the saved people waking up and getting back to where they need to be in their relationship with God, in walking with God, in the old paths of old-fashioned Bible preaching, Bible teaching, sound doctrine practically applied to the day and age in which they live. The psalmist is looking back at that day and saying, God, if you could do something as great as divide the Red Sea and cause your people to walk over on dry ground, God, if you could do something as great as stop the descent of the waters in Jordan and allow your people to pass over into the promised land and defeat adversaries that are bigger and more well-entrenched and more powerful than we were, then God, you can work in this day. God, you can work in this age. Can I say that we are in a day and age where you are going to see more and more men turning from God? No matter how bad it gets, out in the future, in the tribulation period, the worse it gets, the worse men get. It comes to a point where they're shaking their fist at God and cussing Him out because the sun is scorching the earth and the drought is so bad. And men are under that heat and they're so miserable and they're being killed by the heat, global warming for you. And they know it's God doing it. Such horrible, catastrophic things are happening and men are dying at such record numbers all over the planet. This is in the tribulation period after we're gone out in the future. And men's hearts have become so wicked that they know it's God and they make their fist and they scream at the heavens, cussing out God Almighty because of what they're going through. Pandemics, economic issues, those things are not going to turn men's hearts internationally and nationally to God. Individually speaking, I do believe many will. And I do believe individually speaking, God will give us an opportunity to reach some people should this thing blow over and the Lord tarry. However, prophetically speaking and doctrinally speaking, you are going to see in the long term, if God tarries in 5 years from now, 2 years from now, this thing blows over, the economy kicks back and everybody goes back to work, you will see a gradual hardening of men's hearts and a vaunting of the pride of men and the knowledge of science and the capabilities of government and the capabilities of bright, astute minds and the bragging of doctors and what we were able to conquer and what we did together, and the credit going to God will not be there. Men will give credit to themselves and they'll say, not only can we fight battles against terrorists, and not only can we win world wars, not only do we have the most powerful military and the most powerful this and that, but also we can conquer the invisible enemy, a virus, that not long ago we were so afraid of, we thought was going to bring us to a grinding halt, but now we've made great advances in health and science, and no longer do we have to fear a virus, and we're going to fix global warming as well and the environment. We're going to fix all man's problems. We got it. God who? That's what's going to come out of this world and out of the hearts of men as we get closer and closer to the end times. The Bible prophesies of a great falling away. So if there was ever a day and time when the people of God, in order to be effective in the day and age that we live in, and should the Lord tarry the next decade or two we have to come, there's never been a time when the people of God don't need to have our ears tuned in to the Word of God and to our personal relationship with Jesus Christ more than we need it now. We need God to work in our day, in our hearts, in our minds, in the day of technology, in the day where there's so much noise that we can't hardly be heard over all the noise that's going on. If we want God to use us and to reach other people, if we want to hear God, then we need to remember that our fathers who walked in the old paths saw God do miracles in their day. And that same God is still on the throne and He can work a miracle in our day. God drove them out in verse number 2. And so He's saying, God, if You work for them, You can work for us. He's not trying to be Moses. He's not trying to be Joshua. He's reminding God of, hey, God, you know what? I remember what You did, and I ask You to remember what You did, and I believe You're still that same God, and if You did it for them, You can do it for me. Listen, 1 Chronicles 12:32 says this, and the children of Issachar, which were men of understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. You know what we need today? Some men who have understanding of the times. Some men who have understanding of the day and age in which we live. And the right way to do that is to look back at the old day, to look back at the sound doctrine, to look back at not only our short-term fathers in the faith, those who taught us the Bible, those who taught us rightly dividing, those who taught some of us what it means to be a preacher, what it means to be a pastor, what it means to be a minister of the Word of God, what it means to write. I'm talking about preparation and delivery of sermons, rightly dividing, taking that book and giving them an expository message. Those who taught us how to handle the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, how to minister this book to the hearts of men, how to help those that need help, and how to preach with power, with authority, with clarity, with boldness against those who hate God and won't get right. We need to look at that. We need to see what God did and walk in the paths that they walked in. I'm not here to outdo any man of the old days, not a bit. I'm here to learn what God gave them and what they gave me and what God showed me through them, and learn to apply it in the day and age with the help of God and understanding of my times to know what Israel ought to do. Not only should we look at that and their paths, but we should look back into the scriptures and see the paths of these fathers of the faith all the way back here, thousands of years, and see what God Almighty did for them and walk in those paths. I'm not moving out of that path. I'm not moving from the doctrine God already established in my heart. I'm not trying to figure out what I believe about sound doctrine. I know what I believe because I was taught it. I've been assured it by the Holy Spirit, and I'm 100% sure we got this thing right. But why? Because the Bible's right. Listen, I'm not saying I know all the Bible. I'm not saying there are not some aspects of prophecy that still remain to be seen. I'm saying when it comes to the overall plan of the prophecy of God and of rightly dividing this book, we've been taught it, we've seen it in the scriptures, we know it, and we're not compromising it, period, the end. Some of these morons now are saying, you know, well, I can see it, this COVID thing is the great lie. Ah, what a moron. That, folks, excuse me, I'm trying to be nicer. I gotta stop calling names. At least I didn't name his name, but that, folks, that is foolishness. This ain't the great lie. Your doctrine should not be that weak, and don't fall for that stuff. Don't get yourself soon shaken or troubled in mind because you're hearing the wrong voices. Stand strong in sound doctrine. Hear the voice of God. Verses 3 through 8, look at this. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. Just a couple of practical observations out of this. The old paths are men that didn't get saved by their own power, by their own sword. This is why I so passionately want you to be warned and guarded against people that are getting a little bit messed up right now and trying to get some doctrine out there that isn't right. I want to be careful because, man, I sure don't want to hurt my testimony about calling names, and I'm glad I haven't named anybody particularly, called out their personal names, but in calling names like moron and idiot and all the rest of that stuff, I just get angry. I get frustrated, and I try to make sure that anger is under the control of God's Spirit, and a little bit of righteous indignation is okay. I hope you know that. And I say that because, listen, your intellect, your ability right now to get into the Bible and try to just find something out of the Bible that makes this COVID thing into something it's not, does not help anybody and does not get people through this time. Christian, BBC, listen to me. Those guys are not going to help you by trying to say that the great lie is already out there. And this is the great lie that's in, you know, the prophecy, and it's supposed to be in the tribulation period. It's the COVID thing. It's not really a... Whether or not it is a lie does not make it the great lie. It's probably a warm-up. I'll give you that. But that does not mean that this is changing everything we've known to be true. Your intellect, my intelligence, my guns, my sword, my preaching is not going to save anybody. It is the preaching of the Word of God. It is rightly dividing the Word of truth. It is the sword of the Spirit. And in verse number 3, it's His arm, not our strength, not our power, not our intellect, not our teaching, not my preaching or my book writing, which I haven't done and never plan to. Not our book writing. There's a book written that I think I can spend the rest of my life in, and I can sharpen and sharpen and sharpen my sword, and with God's help, you pray for me, and with God's help, I'll get better and better and better, if He'll let me, at ministering and teaching and preaching this book. I want to be a minister first. I'm really working on that. I want to help you through your life with this book, but I don't ever want to lose my edge. I don't ever want to get to where I can't slam that pulpit, stomp my foot, and preach hard against sin and hard against foolish doctrine. That is part of the job, and that is an old path you find the prophets always did, and it's biblical. I just don't want to get out of balance. I want to get more and more in tune with this book and the God that wrote it and the Spirit that teaches it, so that we can take this book and see the light of His countenance and have favor with God. Like the Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. They weren't searching the headlines and making the Scriptures fit the headlines. They were searching the Scriptures regardless of the headlines. They weren't those guys that lived just to hear or to tell some new thing. Be careful when guys get out there and try to give you some new thing. Oh, now I know what it is. This is the great lie. The tribulation's 10 years. The tribulation's already started. Here comes the Antichrist. The virus is the mark. The implants are the mark. New things. You watch out for them. They're going by their own sword, their own intellect, and trying to make a name for themselves, not trying to exalt the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have absolutely no doubt that the teachings that I've put out since the beginning of COVID and the way I've handled things and the way I've responded to what I've seen some of our brethren doing, and listen, they've even made it to the news media. Born again guys, all over the news as rebels against the government. They put a bad name and a mark on those that are Bible believing born again Christians. And so yes, I've preached against their methods too. And I'm okay with that. I have no doubt that I've hurt quote unquote Mike Reagan's name. And that I've made myself some enemies and some people don't like me and whatever. But that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is if I've given truth and tried to help you through this time, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, stay calm and comforted by the truth. The Bible hasn't changed. The Lord hasn't changed. The book still works. And if you walk with Jesus Christ and draw closer to Him, you are going to see Him deliver you and take care of you and meet your needs and take care of your family and strengthen you and draw you closer. And folks, you are going to see Him bring us through this time as a church strong and better than we've ever been. But that relies on us tuning our ear into Him, walking with Him and staying strong, staying sound in the faith and sound in our doctrine and not getting all messed up. Verse 4, Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through Thee will we push down our enemies. Through Thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Why? Because you did it of old. God, when your men stuck with the book, when your men walked with you, you delivered them. They pushed through their enemies. They pushed down their enemies. They tread them under that rise up against them. You delivered them. And God, if you did it back then, you're going to do it today. So guess what? I'm sticking with God. I'm sticking with the doctrine I already learned and knew and know to be the truth of the Word of God. That doesn't mean I don't read my Bible and pray and try to continue learning and try to gain more and build on the foundation that I already have. But I'm not ripping down the foundation and trying to panically, in a panic mode, rebuild the whole thing just because of a virus or a lie or whatever else you want to make it out to be or whatever else you think it is or I think it is. I'm not tearing down that foundation. Why? Because I know how to make it. And I know Mike Reagan's arm ain't strong enough. And I know Mike Reagan's sword ain't sharp enough. And I know Mike Reagan's bow doesn't have enough pounds of pressure in it. And I do know the arm of God's strong enough. I do know His right hand will do it. I do know His short sword is sharp. I do know His bow will get it done. I do know that He has the strength. And I do know that He'll save me. He saved my soul. If He saved my soul from hell through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary, if He could do something like that, you think He can't take care of my life, my family, my wife, my little girls? You think He can't take care of my dogs, my bills? You think He can't take care of my church family? You think He can't do it? You crazy. I know He can. And I trust is in Him. And verse number 7, But Thou hast saved us from our enemies. I'm already saved. By the grace of God, my soul is His. So whatever else happens in my life and to my flesh and in the world around me is nothing, because I'm going to die and live eternally with the presence of God So the rest of it's nothing. My heart's fixed. My eyes are set. My ears tuned in, God help me. And I want to keep it there. Boy, I'm always tempted to let that devil pull it off. Let the noise around me pull it off. I struggle with it daily just like you do. But boy, if we can hear the Lord and tune into Him and keep our eyes where they ought to be and our ears where they ought to be and open up, I'll tell you something. We'll come back in verse number 8 stronger than ever. In God we boast all the day long and praise Thy name forever. Selah. You know what this COVID thing, this shutdown thing will probably be for some of us if we learn how to walk with God through it? If we learn how not to be deaf to what the Lord's trying to say to us. This thing is going to be our experience. This thing is going to mature some of you young people and some of you middle-aged people and even you older folks. This thing is going to mature you on a level you would have never had without it. This thing could turn out to be an experience for our generation among those that are born-again Christians. That is life-changing, where we can teach some doctrine to our children and our children's children that we never would have been able to teach without it. The greatest way to learn is by personal experience. I mean, when I say it, I mean like something that you went through with God is one of the deepest and most powerful ways to learn. The second best way to learn is by the personal experience of somebody else who you've learned to know and trust and who's had an impact on you and on your life. Somebody close to you, like a father figure. And if they can share their experiences with you and you can have the wisdom that God can give to internalize what they're trying to teach you and grab a hold of it and then apply it to your life, that's the second best way. When I say best way, I just mean strong way, like where you won't forget and it really becomes who you are. That's possible by secondhand. And the secondhand way keeps the pain of the tribulation, the pain of the issue, or the pain of the failure, the scars, off of you. So the second way is probably the most joyful way, best way I could say it, to learn. That's what he's saying in verse 44. He's saying, God, we've learned the second best way, what you have done, but now the best way in this application, in this day, in this time, God, help me to hear you. We've heard with our ears what they had to say, but God, now let me hear you in that still small voice. Elijah in that cave, don't forget, it wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in all the noise. It wasn't in all the rattle. Folks, today it's not on the news media. It's not in the pandemic. It's not in the politicians. It's not in the virus. It's not in the conspiracy theorists and the panic. It is in the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart in the privacy of your home through the power of His Word to give you what you need to get you through this and bring you out of it, boasting in God and praising His name forever. Selah. All right, we'll pick it up here next time.